Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been waiting for this one. Ken McCusick, who breaks down film better than some coaches, joining us right now. Good morning to you, Ken.
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
Doing all right, man. Ken, I'm just going to warn you. Coming in hot. 1 week before the bye. Got the Rams. Then the bye. During the bye, who gets fired?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if they beat the Rams, I think they give themselves a little bit more leash.
Yeah, but, no, I agree with you. So,
who gets fired? Great setup.
So, a bunch of changes are possible. I think pretty much any structural change on defense would be up for grabs, uh-huh. potentially. It could be as simple as like a Dean Pease coming in as a quality control coach again or mm-hmm. something like that. Probably not that simple given what's happened so far. I don't think Harbaugh gets fired. And I part of the reason is just a practical one that your better candidates are available during the offseason. They're all employed right now.
So you think it's on the table in the offseason?
I guess I would say yes, it's on the table in the offseason at this point, given what's happened. And then there's a bunch of other things, though, that aren't related to firings directly that'll happen. The team could unravel, obviously, in terms of what's going on. If that happens, there may be a reluctance, both on the players and the team, to rush back their stars. I think you could have... a lot of focus on the young players, which will seem positive, but obviously is going to hurt the product on the field. And I think you could have a fire sale of the expiring contracts. There's a lot of value the Ravens have, remarkably much at any one time, mm-hmm. of players who can be traded. Maybe we take a moment on this. You can't trade most players during the season for practical reasons, and
right.
it's, particularly if they're star players. Like, they want to trade Lamar Jackson or Roquan Smith right now. You can't do it because those guys make too much money, and there's too much of a cap hit that has to be accelerated immediately for the Ravens departing it, and the team that you're trading them to doesn't have the cap room to take them. But if you're talking about the players that the Ravens have currently on expiring deals, I'm talking Owe, Linderbaum, Likely, Andrews, Travis Jones. There's teams who can take them, and they have real value, those players. So I think it's possible we see a fire sale.
Jeez.
Wow. Trade deadline.
I get a tip of the cap for your Clockwork Orange analogy. That was the first movie I ever snuck into underage because it was rated X, which they don't have anymore. Now it's NC-17. Yeah. It was X-rated movie. Snuck in, but a brilliant movie. Anthony Burgess. Anyway, we talked about the aversion therapy. It was perfect. You happy to see Keaton Mitchell finally back in there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to see him active. I wish he could have a bigger role in a role with Lamar, but they really need his misdirection. if you ever thought that Lamar Jackson did not earn his 15% commission on all rushing yards, then you have to watch this game over and over again as your remedial learning experience, because he was really central to their rushing.
I read, and maybe you have the same thing, where it was Derrick Henry this past game and without Lamar Jackson has been hit behind the line of scrimmage on average. And then his first hit with Lamar Jackson is like 2 yards down the field. So it shows you're building up him, getting him running downhill, and what happens and the big difference. So everybody talking about, hey, Lamar, he doesn't win the MVP because of Derrick Henry. Yeah. Lamar made Derrick Henry even better.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's just,
And you can see that every other running back Lamar's ever played with, it's been the same kind of improvement.
So, Ken, what did you think of Cooper Rush? And I think it's odd that some people are even talking about Snoop coming in and being the quarterback. What'd you even pay Cooper Rush for?
He was terrible in this one. I mean, really terrible. So he threw the ball 21 times. Okay, passes or sacks are total are 21. 9 of those, he had ample time and space, which means he had a 3-second pocket and the ability to step into his throw.
Right.
3 of those 9 were interceptions. Three of the 9, were interceptions when he got exactly the pocket he needed. So Rush deserves, the amount of blame the full amount of blame for his poor play.
Ken McKusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. The defense has been deplorable, been probably the worst defense that we've seen Baltimore Ravens play, if not ever. Mm-hmm. Watching film, is the secondary, the bad secondary play, a product of a lack of a pass rush, or the guys in there are just that bad?
It's a combination of, I think, two things. The pass rush certainly has not gotten the job done, and in particular in this last game, we're not particularly good. I think the guys in the secondary who are playing right now with Martin and Lowry and Tampa are younger players who really don't have good instincts at all, and it shows up play after play. Lowry had two plays, short touchdowns. Right. Both times he got kind of not to the right spot. Tampa playing very soft because he's afraid of not being fast enough. At least that's what it looks like to me. I think it's a combination of factors, but the pass rush certainly hasn't helped. And, you know, in terms of getting the pass rush home, the secondary hasn't helped by having that extra half second of coverage.
Can we circle back to that second? When we started this talking about, you know, maybe a lot of changes after the bye. The defense obviously looks terrible. It may be historically bad. May give up the most points in NFL history the way they're going. And they were on pace, what, Jeremy, 600?
Yep.
Right. There was a Colts team that gave up like 5-something when Bruce Ladd was on. He talked about it a lot.
81.
It was 81, yeah. there's a lot of talent on that defense, and these injuries just occurred. This last week was horrific, but there weren't that many injuries going into the season on the defense, and they still looked bad. Do you have any hope that if these guys came back, there'd be some improvement, and maybe they bring Pease in again? I don't know. I don't see it. I just don't see any creativity on defense. I see the coverage sucks. I mean, how's Xavier Hutchinson? How could he be so alone in the red zone this Sunday? I mean, absolutely. No one in the camera shot with him. 5 yards out from the goal line. I don't get any of this. This people waving their arms in confusion in the secondary like Wiggins was doing. That's coaching. That's not the players. I mean, I've played. I mean, that when you don't know what the coverage is, you are completely lost in the secondary. So I just don't quite get what's going on there. I have no hope. Tell me why I should.
You get veterans back who have instincts. Mm-hmm. Hamilton is a huge addition to the back end. If you want a player who's not wearing the green dot but can still control a secondary and get people repositioned pre-snap, I think you have hope for that. They went through 10 weeks of utter crap last year with Williams and Eddie Jackson on the back end. And then they got a fix because they replaced those two guys. The whole defense turned it around and whatnot. That's the best example I can give you of, hey, yeah, it can happen. Do I believe it's really going to happen to this team? I think they'll get better because there's nowhere else to go. But do I think they're going to I don't think they'll end up sending the record for the most points allowed. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they called Dean Pease. He's like, do you guys have your cornerback 7 to 10 yards off the line of scrimmage? You do? I can't help you. I don't know what to do then. No, I'm kidding. So just speaking on that, because I know you're a math guy, and we threw it out here looking at the numbers. Ravens still with a 48% chance to make the playoffs, still actually favored to win the division. Schedules, we just went over it with Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I mean, you have an outside shot, but I don't know if you're seeing that light through the other side of the tunnel. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm continually surprised by the way the wagerers, the bettors, seem to favor the Ravens continuously more than I expected. You know, they were favored against the Chiefs. They were just 1.5-point dogs against the Texans.
Can I tell you what it feels like? It feels like the guy that, let's say, all right, I picked the Phillies to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. I bet on them in game one. They lost. Well, then they're not going to lose game two. I picked them to win the World Series. They got to go. So I bet them in game two. Then they lose that one. And it's like, well, do I bet on them in game three? So I don't. Then I go with the Dodgers. And then the Phillies win. You know, like, that's what it feels like, is that people are just doubling down on what we've seen. I did it last week. I thought this was a spot that the Ravens bounced back in. Now, it sucked that Hamilton and a couple other guys ended up being out, too.
But even their own, you know, John McClain's, they had one good quarter. You look up, they had one good quarter this season. They ended up dominating the entire game. How would we not? I bet the Ravens, too.
Yeah. I think, you know, that phenomenon goes further than just the wagering markets. If you look at just what's going on in the Baltimore sports diatribe back and forth on Twitter and other places. I mean, people are doubling down on their own opinions about things. They had an opinion that war sucked before the year, that they didn't like this, or they want to get rid of Harbaugh. That's the big one, probably. And they want to double down on everything they've got, and they want to say everything they possibly can right now, which makes the whole discourse not a discourse anymore. It's just, it's very difficult online to listen to what's going on.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ken, I'm going to say this, and you can disagree and give me reasons why you disagree if you want. I have no confidence whatsoever that this coaching staff can fix it. My confidence that in this team to turn it around is based on number 8 and the way he raises that. You know, high tide raises all ships. I have no if it's up to the coaching staff and the coaching staff alone, no confidence.
Okay, It's been a pretty good coaching staff over the years in terms of winning football games, being ready to play football games and whatnot. So if the Ravens do miraculously turn around and make it to the playoffs, it's not going to be strictly number 8. I'm going to have a hard time believing that. But hopefully we'll have that happy problem to discuss about 3 months from now.
Well, we discussed the offensive line. there's people, again, I think people who they don't either know the game. I don't want to insult people, but it's like, you have the best running back in the NFL history. If the offensive line sucks, you can't go anywhere. And I think the situation now with Derrick Henry, where he's averaged like 2 yards a carry this game, there's no crevices. There's nowhere to go. How did you rate the line?
So a lot of that, by the way, in terms of the crevices, is just the teams now that the Ravens are facing, every one of them is deciding we're going to pack the box and we're not going to.
Yeah.
We're going to make Cooper Rush beat us, and it's pretty clear that Rush and even Jackson before that when he's in there were having trouble doing that. But the line was terrible in this last game. Noteboom had contributions to 6 pressure events. He had an F, and unfortunately we're seeing why it was so important to have Ronnie Stanley in there. Noteboom was actually pretty good in his first game. Voorhees had 2 good games in a row coming into this one. He had a D, 3 pressure contributions in this one. It's only 40 offensive snaps. So it's the kind of game where you make just a couple of mistakes and your grade can really suffer. Linderbaum had no pass rush events allowed, but he missed 6 blocks and he had a very serious penalty, an IDP flag, which it actually was declined, but it being a declinable foul is basically the problem, is that it has extra negative impact on the offense. Falele, very sluggish. It's easy to find a lot of bad Falele plays in this game, but he only actually allowed 1 pressure, and so he still got a C in the game. Rosengarten was the best of the Ravens' offensive linemen. He allowed 1/3 of a sack, had 7 missed blocks, got a B in the game, but not pretty. FD, D plus C, and a B obviously is not what you want.
No.
So was there anybody on defense that, I hate saying a hat tip, that did play fairly well that should at least get a mention? Because it didn't look like it. So
yeah, so there's a lot of guys who played hard, and I think they deserve more chances, but they just sort of play with great instincts. I think that both inside linebackers were running around the field trying to make tackles, and they were about as effective as traffic cones in terms of managing the area behind them between level 2 and 3 in coverage. So that was a problem. Both Simpson and Buchanan had, but they were very they ran all over the field and they made tackles and they're playing hard. Keon Martin, I think, is playing really hard. The problem is he's not playing smart, and he had 3 penalties in this game. The offsides, I think, was probably just a bad call. The DPI might have been a bad call. I haven't seen an angle yet, which shows a lot of contact there. And then he ran out of bounds on a punt, which reversed a 61-yard punt, negated a 61-yard punt for Stout, and ended up costing the Ravens 25 yards of field position. So that's a really bad triple in one game.
Yeah, it is a bad one. Here with Ken McCusick, Film Study Baltimore. Okay, Ken, you said Cooper Rush was horrible on Sunday. I don't want to misquote you. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I said it. He's probably going to start again on Sunday, as far as we know.
Yeah.
Well, how could the Ravens beat the Rams with that kind of performance?
You know, it has to start with something being very different, probably starting with turnovers, starting with staying in the game to start.
You know, and I agree with you on the assessment of Cooper Rush, this, by the way, but go ahead.
Yeah, he's can't have three interceptions and hope for the Ravens to win the game, obviously. But even if he has none, you know, there's a good chance they don't win the game anyway.
Yeah.
That's the truth of the matter. But he looked good on that first drive. You know, they actually had a decent, sustained drive. They moved down the mm-hmm. field. They ended up getting stalled and kicked a field goal, and that was the beginning of the end, being down 7-3, of course, there. And then he had three interceptions when he had a completely clean pocket to throw from. He just can't do that.
So he can't blame the offensive line, in your opinion?
No.
Okay.
No, he's given a really good opportunity set. Okay. Really good. Yeah.
That's interesting, because that's what I was saying. I think people are blaming the offensive line a lot, and they did not play well, and they're not playing that well this year, in my opinion anyway. But I think a lot of the offensive skill players deserve some, like the quarterbacks that you're mentioning, like just holding on to the ball, not throwing the ball away quickly enough, and just taking unnecessary sacks. And I just don't get, it just seems like there's so many things going wrong. And this isn't like one thing. It's not like you can say, well, the offensive line's banged up. They're not. I mean, they are, but Stanley's not. It's not this, or that, you know, Henry's in decline. It's none of these things. It's a lot. It's all of them. Mm-hmm. I feel like everything is just not well right now. And how do you fix that?
They're a long way from fixing the offense. They do have a good set of skill position players right now.
Yeah.
And when Lamar's back, they got the best quarterback.
Yeah.
So you got that.
I think the best football player.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Fair too. The offensive line is not as bad as everybody thinks it is. You know, this offense could be better than it truly is. I think they're a middle of the pack offensive line. They're just being asked to do so much in terms of carrying this team with the defensive woes being what they are.
So, Ken, as we start to look at, you know, moving forward and playing the Rams, like what types of changes can they make? Are they are getting healthier. I was surprised that we had Wiggins back this past week after what happened, and they only had seven defensive backs with him coming back. Are we getting healthier this week? It sounds like Ricard won't be back till after the bye. I think Lamar won't be, but we don't know that yet, do we?
Yeah, I actually don't know who's coming back, and Harbaugh has been a little bit arcane.
He's been horrible.
What's going on. Well, he should just say nothing. I mean, the obvious thing to do is just say, my only comment is no comment. That's what you have to do in M&A work and anything that involves stock transactions or whatnot. There's no reason why the fans need to know anything about injuries or why the media needs to ask. And once he has a stock answer, he can just stick with it.
Only one reason why the fans need to know about injuries, and that's gambling.
Okay.
I'm serious. Like, that's the reason that the NBA, Major League Baseball, these, they have to have lineups out an hour beforehand.
Right.
It's for the betters. Yeah, because they know it's a big part of the
sport. I think what Ken is saying is he doesn't have to say it.
Oh, no.
He doesn't have to talk about it. And I'm with that. And like I told you before last week, I said this last week, Ken, my problem was not that he didn't talk about it. My problem was him going into this whole rant of telling us how to do our jobs. How about we just don't ask about that? No. We're going to ask about it. Mm-hmm. If your response is, I'm not talking about injuries, that's a response.
Right.
But don't tell me not to ask you about it. That was my only problem.
Yeah, don't tell me what the story is.
Right.
I mean, honestly, but in terms of the injuries, he has the perfect thing. Belichick did it for a while, but you can take it to the extreme, and then it becomes completely solves the problem.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. Hey, Ken. Let's tell us all about Film Study Baltimore, man.
Sure. At Film Study Ravens, if you're following me on Twitter, on filmstudybaltimore.com, you'll see the defensive articles out there, and it's a relatively short read about a tough topic. So if you don't want to listen to an hour podcast, or a two-hour podcast, actually, then this is the way to do it. The defensive review podcast will be out today in two parts, and the offensive line scoring will be out later today if you want to have an additional thing to go blah over.
There you go. Hey, Ken, look forward to seeing you next week. Hopefully, you have some really good things to report.
Thanks, Rob.
All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.